Good morning to you. I know some of you said that old boy's drunk. You saw me walking up here today. I have vertigo. Have had it for about a week now, and I was determined, since this is going to be my first Sunday, I was going to make it here, and here I be. I didn't throw up the first hour. That's always a good sign, and I'm trying to make it this hour. How you doing today? I want you to look around the auditorium and just see who's here. You don't get to greet like you used to. Look at them. See somebody there? Say hi, y'all. Folks need to be welcome when they come to church. If you're here and you're not a member, we want you to know we're awfully glad that you're here, and we're looking forward to our time together with you. And as an interim, I'm thrilled to say we're moving toward a new day. Thank you for the worship this morning, for the music and everything, and you just pray that I don't throw up and I don't fall down. If we make it through that, I'll keep y'all awake. See, if you're on the front row, you'd really be awake. Hope that old man don't throw up on me. Well, I've done it a bunch, so I'm looking forward to this time together. What in the world do you do when you become an interim pastor? What is your purpose in being here? Well, there's some pretty basic mechanical things. That is, you work with the search committee and you work with the staff and all those kind of things. And I'll do that. And then you preach twice on Sunday morning. But my desire is that I help you grow in your faith. My real desire is that Jesus touches your life somewhere and wherever you are. I don't care if you're 10 years old or as old as I am. I want Jesus to touch your life, and I want what we do together to bring you closer to Him. Thus, we're going to do a new series. It's titled, It Seems So Simple, But It's Really Not. It seems so simple, but it's really not. I got the idea when I was shopping at Christmas. I don't know if it's Home Depot or Lowe's, whichever one you work in. I'll make you feel better. But I was there, and the guy waiting on me said this to me. Sir, anybody can put this together. Anybody. It's simple. The directions in the box, you just follow them. I said, sir, I want to profess to you that you're a liar. I know you're a liar because y'all conned me into that before. I cannot put it together. I cannot follow directions, so just give it up. It's a lot more complicated than you think it is. And I want you to know that I find that going on all the time in faith. There are words that we use all the time in faith that we say them out loud, we say them in church, and everybody assumes that everybody knows what they mean. Unfortunately, many times we don't. Over the next several weeks, we're going to look at some faith terms that, while we're looking at them, they seem to be so simple, but the reality is they're far more difficult than we can imagine. We start today with one of my favorite terms, and we'll look at it in just a minute, but let me set the backdrop. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, open to Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Or use your iPhone, whichever. Look spiritual if you're going to be checking your email while doing this. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, but Lord, we toiled all night and we've caught nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed such a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken in. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And here is where we're going today. Verse 11. And when they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. We're going to talk about following him. Before we talk about that, let's talk to him. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me if you would? God, what a great time of worship we've had. We've been reminded of so many truths that we sing all the time and pay little attention to. We have victory in you, and whatever is going on, we have victory. Now, Lord, all of us here are well aware of the big stuff going on in our country. We're changing presidents. We're fighting a virus. We're trying to figure out how to get vaccines. All that stuff's going on. That's the big stuff. But, Lord, I want your word to speak to the little stuff, the everyday stuff. The couples trying to keep their marriage together, the gentlemen trying to get their jobs working where they should be, the whole desire to discover our worth and value in a world that tells us we have no value. We've come here this morning, and you know us better than we know ourselves, so we ask that you meet us where we are and move us toward where you would like for us to be. You know the one who is to preach. His sins are many. Cleanse him and use him anyway. And you know those who come to listen and what they need to hear. And in spite of the words spoken, would you speak to their hearts? Teach us to listen for the quiet shuffling of sandal feet as you walk among us. In Christ's name, amen. Follow me. It's used over 25 times in the Gospels alone. Seeing Matthew, Jesus said to him in that tax booth, "Follow me." In the 10th chapter of Matthew, "Whoever does not follow me is not worthy of me." Matthew 16:35. "Unless a man deny himself and follow me." 19:21, "If you would be perfect, go and sell all you have and come follow me." Mark 1:17, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." John records in the 8th chapter, the 12th verse, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not be in darkness." 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You get my drift. Follow me is not a walk in the park. It's not just something we say we're going to do. Follow me can keep us out of darkness, can keep us out of hurt, can make us fishers of men, can impact the world we live in. Follow me rattles our cage if it becomes real. David Platt is one of those guys that I love to read a lot. He challenges me often. He says this, "Follow me is not an invitation to say a prayer. It's a summons to lose our lives." This is a follow-up book on Radical. He challenges the traditions of cultural Christianity and reintroduces us to Jesus. And he has this simple request, "Follow me." There are dozens of times when Jesus came to those he had called and he tells them, follow me. One such example is when he was choosing his disciples and they were walking by the sea and he saw two brothers and he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They left their nets and followed him. Matthew 4:18-20. There's no hint of these men stopping to count the cost or talking about what it would mean to do that. They simply followed Jesus. Later on, he will call Matthew. Follow me is the only words he spoke to him. Matthew didn't ask, I've got a great job, I'm making a lot of money, I work for the federal government, why would I follow you? He didn't ever say that. He just follows Jesus. He rose and followed him, is what Matthew says. As simple as this sounds, I'm here to tell you, it's not that simple to follow Jesus. There's no other place I can find in the Bible that more graphically points out what it means to follow him. And that's what I'm going to do this morning from our text. Open your Bible to the 5th chapter. Leave them open and let me share with you what God has shown me. First of all, let's look at verse 11. Let's find out where they end up. Whatever else led them to the point, there came a time in their lives where these men who had begun their day as fishermen ended their day by leaving everything and following him. Could I be candid with you? If I could give you anything, I don't care where you are in your faith, but if I could give you anything, I would give you the ability to leave everything you've got and follow him. I want you to know it is complicated. It takes a while to do it. It will push you beyond your own limits. It will show you areas of your life that you've never examined before. Follow me. Leave everything. Getting there is where I want us to end up. Well, how did these guys get there? Let me show you three things. I'll talk fast. You listen fast. Three things I want you to notice. First of all, I want you to notice the contrast in the crowd. And so you're going to find out as we go along. I think left brain. I got to see things. So I got this picture. The Sunday school class at the first chapter at the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem was going to have a beach retreat. And they were all going out to the beach, and so they got Jesus to come be their speaker, and they're following him along the seashore, listening to his teaching. They're the spiritual bunch. They got King James Bibles. They never wear blue jeans in church. I mean, they're spiritual. And they're following along, learning from Jesus, and they come upon what has to be a ragtag group of fishermen. Now, if you know anything about fishermen, if you've ever smelled a fisherman before or after, you can tell a fisherman. You can't tell him much, but you can tell a fisherman. Well, these guys are finishing their day. They want to get home. They're going to watch Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. They want to go to the house. And they're trying to get through their boat. And here comes this Sunday school class down the beach. And they stop right in front of him, and Jesus borrows one of the boats. Gets in that boat and starts teaching. There's a contrast in the crowd that is listening to Jesus. One group are pretty spiritual. They do things pretty well. They've been around Jesus a lot. They like teaching. The other group had been to church in so long, the last time they went was Easter, and they hadn't thought anything about what it meant to be with Jesus. And here Jesus is about to change the world. He doesn't choose the hot shots with the King James Version. He chooses the nobodies. The reason I tell you that is so many of you never served Jesus seriously because you don't think you're spiritual enough. I'll be candid with you. You aren't. I know you. You're like a bunch of turkeys in the 32nd row of a kitchen chicken convention. You're not fired up about serving God. It's not your nature. You got too many important things to do. You got turkeys to shoot and quail to hunt and fish to catch, and you've got football games to watch. You don't have time to do much spiritual stuff. And so you assume that Jesus does his business with the religious folk. And you've ruled you out. There was a contrast in that crowd. Second of all, I want you to notice there was a relevance of obedience. Jesus expresses to Peter, I want to borrow your boat. And that's like asking a South Georgia guy, can I borrow your pickup? But he gets in the car, gets in the boat, and they get out from the shore, and Jesus said, why don't you fish a little deeper? Let down your nets. Now I'm going to be honest with you. For fishermen to hear that, the most minor thing that Peter could say is, well, Lord, I'll just be honest with you. We have toiled all night. And we ain't caught nothing. And here comes the kicker. Because you say so, I will let down my nets. That obedience produce an overflow of fish. And the fish were there powerfully so. So powerful that everybody there was amazed. Simon called all of his partners to come over and they saw that catch of fish. They were obedient and God honored it. Deep fishing requires faithfulness to God, but especially requires obedience. Listen to me closely. I hope you believe the Bible is true. That's a good thing. But you know what else? I hope you're obedient to what the Bible says, because that makes all the difference in the world. It was a radical obedience that was extremely relevant. Number three, brokenness is the start of following him. Get me close. Simon Peter saw this and he was blown away. He didn't know what to think, but he does this. He falls at Jesus' feet and he says, I am a sinner. Now hear me close. The first step into following Jesus is to have that experience, where you can actually say to Jesus, let me tell you who I am. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not what I ought to be. In fact, I'm a sinful man. You probably shouldn't be around me. I don't know if Jesus thought this, but I think he could have. I know you, Peter, and you're right. These folks that came to me on a retreat, they're the people I ought to be with because they're good folk. You're trash. But I don't really care. Get up. From now on, you will be catching men. And they straightway left their nets, and here it is, they followed him. Now let me tell you what I believe. I believe with all my heart that most of you in this room aren't bad people. And I want you to know God is not mad at you. He's not out to get you. But God does want you to follow him, and he wants you to be serious about following him. He can deal with your hurt. He can deal with your pain. But you're going to have to follow him. And even when it doesn't look safe to do that, you've got to follow him. Now, the disciples don't know what Jesus is really asking for. It will not be till a village and a crucifixion that they finally get the picture of what it meant to follow him. But at least at this moment, brokenly, they fell at his feet and were willing to go. So here's what I want to say to you this morning. It's very simple. Follow him. But it's very complicated because it takes everything you are and everything you own to do that. But you will be able to stand within it. Now, if you're smart, you said to yourself, you're right, preacher, I would like to follow him. But I don't know if I can. I don't know if I'm capable of following him. Interstage right. One of my favorite stories in the world was of the movie Ben-Hur. Now, most of you in here don't even remember that. You don't even remember Roy Rogers. So you don't remember Ben-Hur. But Ben-Hur was a great movie in which Charlton Heston was in it. And he played this role where he drove a chariot in a race. Heston did all he could to learn how to drive that team of horses. Got pretty good at driving them. Pretty good master over them. But it finally occurred to him that he may could drive them, but he could never win a race. So Heston goes to see Cecil B. DeMille, who is a director of the movie, and he said to him, I've worked hard at mastering this rig, and I think I can drive it conventionally in the scene, but I don't think I can win the race. And Cecil B. DeMille says, you just drive. I'll do the rest. You ever see Ben-Hur? Charlton Heston won the race because Cecil B. DeMille made it happen. You could preach it in from here. God wants you to have a victory. He wants you to follow him and serve him and impact the world through him. But you don't have to drive the horses all yourself. As we go along talking about simple things, I'm going to spell out for you what he actually does, but I want you to hear me at least this morning. He will make it happen if you do your part. That's what this book says. And this book never lies. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me this morning? Our Father, we have studied your word, and we've heard your simple call to follow you. And we know it's complicated. We know it takes our commitment. We know it takes our surrender. We know it takes our brokenness for you to use us. So, Lord Jesus, I pray right now for everyone in the sound of my voice or even listening online to hear me say this. If you really want to follow Jesus, you got to start by being right with him, by giving your heart and life to trust him. If you're there and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, let me help you just a little bit. You might want to pray this kind of prayer. Lord, I am a sinner. I've fallen far short of being what you want me to be. And would you please come into my heart and save me, that I might serve you. I also know that some of you here have made that decision, but you've been busy being busy in other things, and you hadn't walked with him in a while. Perhaps you'd pray this kind of prayer. Lord, forgive me of my shortcomings. Forgive me of being satisfied with my relationship to you, and call me beyond myself to be a fisher of men. Encourage me this morning, Father, because I ask you to come into my heart and my life fresh. One more. You may be following him, and you may be one who knows that you're saved, but you hadn't been very committed to what's going on around you, either to a church or to a walk with him. And there's a need in your life for recommitment of your life to him. You can do that this morning. Pray a prayer something like this. Father, I need desperately to move forward in my faith. Help me to do that today. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's always good for me to be able to say to you, if you're here this morning, you can make a decision that will affect your life for a lifetime. I'll go home this afternoon, and one of the things I'll do is write a note to a young man. He's young to me. He's 54 years old. His wife called me yesterday and said that he has COVID and is in pretty bad shape, but he accepted Christ when he was 12 years old. And I was his pastor. I'm going to write him a note and say, man, God knows where you are and wants to do something with you. Just trust him right now. And he's got it. Death cannot hold you. Victory's in Jesus. If you're here this morning and need to make that kind of a decision, John will be here at the front, and I assume he will be. Where did John go? I don't see John. There he is. I didn't recognize you with your mask on. John will be here at the front. If you'll come talk to him, he'll be glad to share with you and hook you up with somebody that can help you. But listen close to me. Don't you dare leave here and say, I don't need to decide anything. All my years as a pastor, everybody who sings an invitation hymn is making a decision to be different, to start fresh, to do what's needed. You come this morning while we stand together to sing.